Welcome to Question Period. I'm Evan Sullivan, and happy Thanksgiving Sunday to everyone. So let's start carving some political turkey. Today, standing up to Trump.
We will fiercely defend our national interest at the NAFTA round, and we're going to stand up for our values.
Justin Trudeau heads to Washington this week as the next round of NAFTA negotiations start. Is it time for Canada to hit back at the U.S. after they've attacked Canada's aerospace and lumber industries? The Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland joins us today. And then, tax attack.
I don't think the federal government's done its homework in respect of the real impacts this may have on our economy going forward.
Under heavy attack from small businesses for their controversial tax proposal, is the government about to back down? MPs are here to debate that. Plus, pipeline down.
What a missed opportunity this is for the people of Atlantic Canada and the people of Quebec.
Why is the demise of Canada's $15 billion Energy East pipeline a big win for Donald Trump? The former Premier of New Brunswick and the former Ambassador to the United States, Frank McKenna, is here to tell us why. All that plus, will the new NDP leader be a game changer in Canada? We'll find out. This is Question Period. Let's pour on some gravy and go get some answers.
I told you from the first day we will renegotiate NAFTA or we will terminate NAFTA. I personally don't think you can make a deal without a termination, but we're going to see what happens, okay? You're in good hands, I can tell you.
Well, if the art of the deal means kicking Canada in the gut during the NAFTA negotiations, then President Donald Trump really is the master. The U.S. has just hammered Bombardier with more duties. Also, it's hammered Canada's softwood lumber industry. And now they might come after the auto industry when the next round of NAFTA talks begin on Wednesday. That's the same day that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will be meeting with President Trump. How should Canada respond to all this? To find out, I'm joined now by Canada's Foreign Affairs Minister, the person also in charge of the NAFTA negotiations, Chrystia Freeland. Minister, thanks so much for being here. And let's start, obviously, with the big news about Bombardier, the U.S. slapping nearly 80% of an anti-dumping duty on Bombardier and their C-Series jet. That's on top of 219% countervailing tariffs. That's a lot. What is the immediate response from Canada to this?
Well, first of all, Evan, it is great to be with you, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. This decision is not a surprise given the previous Commerce decision. It is unjust, unjustified, excessive, and frankly absurd. This is a blatantly protectionist measure intended to take the highly competitive C-Series out of the market. And Canada is very, very clear about that. I think it is worth being clear with Canadians that this is just one step in quite a long process. The final determination has not yet been made. So, you know, this is not the end of the road. But we have been clear with Commerce. I spoke with Wilbur Ross on Sunday last week, and we've been clear with Boeing as well. We've been very clear with the U.S. that if Canadian companies find their access to the U.S. market, for example, in government procurement, cut off or restricted, then Canada is going to have to respond appropriately.
Okay, let's get specific real quick. Is Canada ruling out buying Boeing jets, the Super Hornets? Is that out?
Again, on Boeing, our government from the very outset has been absolutely clear. We've been clear with the U.S. government and we have been clear in direct conversations with Boeing. I spoke with Mark Allen of Boeing at the UNGA in New York a couple of weeks ago. We've been very clear that we consider a company which is suing Canada not to be a trusted partner. And, you know, Evan, I personally would not feel comfortable with defending the spending of Canadian taxpayer dollars with a company which is attacking our aerospace sector. And Boeing knows that.
Okay. Will Justin Trudeau raise the issue of the Bombardier tariffs and duties with President Trump when they meet on Wednesday?
So I never like to make future predictions, Evan. And obviously, you know, we will see how the conversation goes, and the Prime Minister speaks for himself. But this is a very important issue for the Prime Minister, and I would certainly imagine that the Prime Minister intends to raise it, as I would imagine he intends to raise the softwood lumber issue, and as I would imagine he intends to speak about NAFTA. In all of his conversations with the President, the Prime Minister is very clear in advocating for Canada and for Canadian workers.
Fundamentally, Donald Trump is a protectionist. He's about Buy American. I'm not even sure if he's a free trader. Some people believe quite profoundly that these talks could go off the rails right now. Do you believe he actually believes in free trade anyway? Fundamentally, is he a free trader? And are these talks in jeopardy of falling out, going off the rails in round four?
This U.S. administration is the most protectionist administration since the 1930s. This is an administration which is proudly protectionist, which is proudly and openly an advocate of an America First policy. And that's something that we Canadians have to be candid with one another about. We never said these NAFTA negotiations would be easy. And I think we also have to realize it's not just about us. So you're right. This is an extremely protectionist, a proudly protectionist administration. And that certainly poses some difficulties in a free trade negotiation.
Okay, I want to pivot to your other part of your file. You don't just deal with NAFTA, you deal with foreign affairs. Donald Trump was meeting with his generals, and he said, this is the calm before the storm. Then he was asked, what do you mean by that, the calm before the storm? What storm? He said, wait and see. First of all, do you know what the storm is? And some think this has to do with North Korea. What is the storm that he's saying?
You know, Evan, one thing that I have never claimed to be is a mind reader, and I would particularly not claim to have that capacity when it comes to the President of the United States.
Okay, pretty unsettling words. Let's see, what if it has to do with North Korea? Let's talk about that. Has Canada, given the tensions there, given the questions about their intercontinental ballistic missile capabilities, has Canada offered or will you offer to be some kind of broker to take down the temperature?
It's a great question, Evan, and I can't talk about everything that we're doing. But I would like Canadians to know that this is an issue that Canada is very deeply engaged in. We have a very good relationship with South Korea and with this South Korean government. We had a great bilateral with the South Korean president and the foreign minister, who is a wonderful woman. She used to work with Louise Arbour. We had a great bilateral meeting with them at the on the margins of the UN at the UNGA. And, you know, as you know, we've had a recent transaction, or transaction is a terrible word to use, but when a human being is involved. But recently we were able to secure the release of Pastor Lim from North Korea. I had a conversation with the North Korean foreign minister in Manila in the summer. And we have also been talking with our American partners about this. We've also been talking to China. I was in China in August, and part of our conversation was about North Korea. They're a very important player there, too. So the Canadian government is very involved, working very hard, because the security of Canadians really is at issue here. And we are working very hard to ensure Canadians are secure.
Okay, well, but still no answer if you're going to be a broker trying to be, if you're behind the scenes trying to be a peace broker here.
You know, as I've said, Evan, we are talking to very many of the involved parties. We have an interest, and we're clear with them that we have an interest. We are also very closely engaged with the Americans. I had some conversations this week with them about that.
Okay, I got to leave it there. Chrystia Freeland, I appreciate it very much. That's our foreign affairs minister. Thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving to you. NAFTA isn't the only challenge for this government. They're being hammered by the opposition and many small business owners over their proposed changes to small business tax. Our parliamentarians are up next to debate that. Stay right here with CTV's Question Period.
The federal government needs to pull back on this rather misguided proposition that We should have class warfare in our country between small family-run businesses and everyone else.
So that was the Premier of Manitoba last week, joining other premiers expressing their frustration, their anger over the government's proposed changes to small business taxes. The consultation period ended last week, but the finance minister is now hinting that he's willing to make some kind of tweaks to the plan. What needs to happen now? For more on this and lots of other issues, including the pipeline, I'm joined by Joël Lightbound. He is the parliamentary secretary to the Minister of Finance in Toronto, the Conservative finance critic. Lisa Raitt is here. And Nathan Cullen, NDP MP from BC, is also in Ottawa. Great to have you all here. Happy Thanksgiving,
Thank
by
you.
The way.
Thank you.
Mr. Lightbound, let me start with you. You've heard the backlash. The consultation period is over. Even your own MPs, some of them, are very unhappy about that. What exactly is the government willing to change?
Well, we've always been clear that we wanted to bring more fairness to our tax system. Now, we've listened to Canadians. We're a government that consults and genuinely listens. And we've heard various concerns from different sectors of the population. We've listened to farmers, to fishers, to small business owners, because our target here really is to go after some inequities that are built in our tax system, but to maintain a low taxation rate for small business owners.
Okay, so get specific. What's on the table to change?
Well, there are things that, principles that will guide us as we review the comments, because we want to make sure that we review what we've heard from Canadians. But one of the principles to make sure that intergenerational transfer is not impacted by the changes that we propose.
So farmers can transfer to their kids.
We want to make sure that there's no unintended consequences when it comes to women entrepreneurs. We would never put forward a measure that disadvantages women over men. We want to make sure that small businesses keep having an environment for growth, for prosperity, for investing in innovation.
You said at the beginning, so let me just get Lisa Raitt in there. Lisa Raitt, the government sounds like they're saying we've listened. We're going to tweak our original proposals. What do you say?
I say that they started on the first principle, that small businesses were set up and incorporated in order to avoid paying taxes. They said that at the beginning. Both the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance said that. He said it in the open public. And here's the problem. The people of Canada and the businesses of Canada got to know more and more what was exactly in that document and began to realize just how much it would impact them. And we have seen town halls across this country that are filled with regular Canadians really worried about the impact. So we will see what's going to happen. We asked for a longer consultation period so we could get to more of these town halls, but everybody but one voted against it in the House on Tuesday night.
Nathan Cullen, now remember, the Liberals say this is not going to affect anyone who's making under $150,000, and they've already contributed to their RSP, and they've already got their tax-free savings account. So they say they're targeting the rich.
Right.
Is that a problem for the NDP?
Well, the fact is they're not targeting the rich. Like, if you look at people skipping out on their taxes in Canada, the lion's share is people doing offshore accounts. There's a $750 million CEO stock option loophole, which Trudeau promised to close when he was campaigning, forgot about it now. So when the Liberals talk about fairness, we say, well, fairness for who? Because none of these changes, ironically, touch either Mr. Trudeau's wealth or the finance minister's personal situation. So a lot of small business owners are saying, why are you coming after us? And saying things like, the Prime Minister did say, a majority of small businesses are set up to avoid paying taxes. I was a small business owner before I got into politics, and I can tell you what the Chambers of Commerce and all the small business owners in my region say, which is
incorrect. We've never said that business owners. What we've said is that there are some Canadians amongst the wealthiest who use